Welcome to the second episode of Ask the Water Polo Goalie. I'm your host. My name is Glenn Bush. I'm an assistant coach for the UCSD men's water polo team. I've been a water polo goalie for a really long time. If this is your first time listening, then this podcast is me answering the questions I get about being a water polo goalie, about playing the position, about training for the position, game situations, and anything else that pops up with being a water polo goalie. These questions come from current players, from coaches and parents, and I'll poll some questions I see on online forums like Reddit. Now, if this isn't your first time, then welcome back. And the question I want to tackle in this episode is probably the most common question I get from current players. And I don't think it's a good question. The question is, what do I need to do to get better? Your initial reaction is probably, why is this a bad question? You know, it sounds like a great one. The player wants to get better, they want to improve, so why do you think it's bad? Well, I don't know you. And if I haven't been working with you, then I don't know what you specifically need to do to get better. All I can give you are generic answers, and you're not looking for generic answers. And usually this question is asked when only the briefest of answers can be given too. I maybe have a minute or two to reply. So I'm going to use this episode to expand a little further on the generic answers, and then I'll talk about how to reframe or narrow the questions so you can come up with specific actionable questions and specific actionable things to do. The list of generic answers is leg strength. This is in and out of the water. You know, I'll add overall conditioning here too. You got communication, passing, hand-eye coordination, and we'll call student of the game. So starting with leg strength. I don't care what level you're at. The single greatest factor to how successful you can be is your leg strength, your explosiveness out of the water, and your ability to hold yourself out of the water and wait for a shot. It is hard to improve the other aspects of your game if your foundation is weak. Leg strength comes from in the pool, and it comes from in the gym. You know, it's in the water drills with weight belts. I really recommend Cap 7's weight belts. They're well made, they're easy on the hips, and the weight is evenly distributed across your hips. Now, growing up, I used a dive belt with lead weights. If that belt wasn't tight enough, you had the lead weights bouncing off the small of your back, you have them bouncing off your hip bones. If it wasn't fun, these are a major improvement. So there's a link to Cap 7's website in the description. That is an affiliate link. I'll earn a commission on anything you buy after clicking through that link. You know, it's a small way that you can support the show. So getting back to exercises, you have every type of exercise while holding something heavy, you know, draining 5 gallon jugs or seeing how long you can hold a 5 gallon jug at various fill levels out of the water. But then you want to make sure to mix it up between slow and heavy with fast and explosive drills. One thing I'd like to add, and I learned this from a book that written by a Croatian water polo goalie, is wearing a long sleeve t-shirt when performing lunges and shooting drills. It adds resistance to your upper body and makes your legs work harder trying to get you up and out of the water while weighed down by the shirt. You can wear a long sleeve shirt with a belt to maximize the conditioning level. You can wear a shirt with or without a belt when doing leg work, or you're out by yourself, and, you know, like the lap swim times, you're just kind of doing some work there. So moving on to the next generic answer, that is hand-eye coordination. I talked about this in the last episode, and I offered up some links in the description there too. I'll try and copy those links over to this episode as well, so you'll have them. So after leg strength, your success depends on being able to actually place your hand on that ball. This is a combo of doing dry land hand-eye drills, drills in the water, and obviously just taking a ton of shots in that water. If you want to go extreme and you have over $400 to spend, you can go get those Vima Rev glasses that just kind of blink on and off, and they just, you know, the new fad, the new thing to train your hand-eye coordination drills. And then the next thing is, and I'm kind of ranking these sections from highest to lowest as I talk about them. And the next one is communication. This is the hardest thing to work on by yourself. You know, you need instant feedback from the situation at hand. Did things work out for you or did they not? And you need instant feedback from a coach. Were the things you said the right thing? How could you have done them better? And the coach can help you out there. You know, the things that you said, did they set your team defense or help your team in its transition to offense? And you get that immediate feedback if it worked or if it didn't. And you need those situations happen a lot. So that's game tape. That's actual practice. You just need to work on the communication and have someone to help you with that, yourself and a coach. But the big issue I see is goalies that don't talk. Maybe their coach doesn't want them to talk and the coach wants to run everything. I don't buy into that, especially at age group in high school. And when I coach high school and I coach age group, I try to get my players to do most of the communicating. The game just starts to make more sense that way instead of someone trying to tell you what to do all the time. You know, you learn to think for yourself. You learn to read those situations. Another common thing I hear is that the goalie, they don't know what to say. You know, they could be scared that they'll say the wrong thing. Well, never be afraid to say the wrong thing. You won't learn. You won't get better if you don't try something. Not talking is a surefire way to not get better. But if you don't know what to say or where to start, you just start out by narrating what is happening in front of you. Just practice talking. You'll learn quickly what is vital and what's not. You'll learn, like, you know, where's the ball located on your defensive half, so your 2-meter guard knows where the ball is. My other advice is, this is not the debate team. Elegant oratory skills are not needed. Short and sweet communication. Use 2 to 3 words to get your point across. When telling your team what to do on defense, call them by name, tell them the specific direction, and if you can, give them the cap number of the player you want them to pick up. If they're looking at you in that transition, point your teammate to where you want them to go. Give them as much information as possible so that they do what you want them to do and they do the right thing. When you're a good communicating goalie, you can set your defense the way you want instead of reacting to what is happening in front of you. You are dictating what you want to happen, increasing your ability to anticipate a shot and increasing your odds of blocking the shot. And a good communicating goalie can help on offense. You can see the whole front court setup and you can see the counterattack. You can tell your teammates where to make the next pass to complete the counterattack, or if your teammate with the ball is the one to take the shot, you can tell them, hey, it's your shot. And in a set offense, you can see where a mismatch is occurring, you can see which side your 2-meter man is set to, and you can communicate to your team where the ball needs to go. You know, every little bit helps. And I'll talk here about being a student of the game and passing just right after this message. So the next generic answer is to be a student of the game. I've made this reference many times. Peyton Manning had all the physical talent to be a top-level quarterback, but talent alone gets you so far. You know, look at his draft counterpart in Ryan Leaf, just one of the all-time busts. Peyton Manning relentlessly studied the QB position, and he studied the game. He spent hours studying game tape, studied his opponents, he studied himself, and you need to do the same. You know, in the last episode, I talked about getting in the mental reps with all the game tape right now, since you can't get the physical reps in. Well, this should still be an everyday aspect of your game when the lockdowns are lifted. Now, go listen to that episode for a brief outline on what you can be doing with game tape, but you need to be studying yourself, your strengths and weaknesses. You need to be studying your opponent's strengths and weaknesses. And you need to be studying just kind of all those all-around aspects of the game. A goalie needs to be smart. I've seen a lot of physically talented goalies, but they can never reach the highest level of play because their mental level and their understanding of the game just wasn't there. They reacted to what happened instead of anticipating what was going to happen in the game. And they weren't really taking over the game with their communication skills and setting the team defense up in front of them. And just like that, I've also seen the opposite. You know, I've seen undersized goalies overachieving at the position because they were smart, they knew the game, knew what their strengths were, and they knew how to force opponents to play into those strengths. The last category I'll talk about is passing. Passing is important, but I kind of put it at the bottom because I've seen goalies get by with poor passing if they're good at all the other previous categories. You know, the caveat being if they're not throwing the ball away every time or killing the counterattack every time, you still have to put the ball to your team. So in general, you need to be accurate. You need to be quick with your passing. This comes with knowing the game well. Just going back to the student of the game. So goalies that don't know the game don't know how to read a counterattack or how to anticipate their teammates. They end up sitting on the ball too long and they kill quick scoring opportunities. Or they make a pass that allows the opposing team to tie up the ball while they get their team defense in position. An example here is, you know, Bill Walton, when he was playing for UCLA, he was described as already looking down the court for a big outlet pass before his feet hit the ground after making a rebound. It's similar with being a water polo goalie. Quick strikes are demoralizing to the other team. If you just made a save, and then you can quickly get the ball up in a throwing position, scan the pool, and get the ball up into that strike zone for a quick score, you've made the assist, and the other team just was like, what? We spent forever trying to score, got blocked, and you guys scored in 2 seconds off that transition. So if you can make those saves, and you can make those assists, it means you're being productive on both the defensive side and the offensive side. An issue I see with younger goalies is just passing strength. That comes with practice. That comes with reps. You know, make sure your throwing motion is correct. Don't screw it all up by trying to heave something. Make sure it's proper throwing motion. Make sure you're engaging your abs. Then keep testing how far you can throw it while maintaining accuracy during those warmups. When you hit your limit, come back in a bit and make like 10 perfectly accurate throws. You know, hit your partner in their dry hand every time. Other little things you can do, you can improve your grip strength, improve your wrist strength. So those are my more in-depth generic answers. Yeah, it's an oxymoron. To what you need to do to get better. There's a lot of little things that you specifically need to do. I just don't know them. Those are the generic, general things for all goalies. For you specifically, I want you to ask more specific questions. You need to be critical of your game and you need to review your game. When you can start practicing again, you know, take your cell phone, get a tripod phone adapter, attach your phone to that tripod, then record yourself taking shots during practice. Record yourself during scrimmages. Make sure you're zoomed in enough to see you distinctly, but also to get a view of what is happening around you with the shooters in the game so that you know the situation. Then here's the most critical thing. You have to review the video. If you played a game, try and make some notes once you're done about specific situations, shots, opposing teams, etc. If you wait too long, you'll forget too much. If you can get someone to record your games for you to review that too, that's going to be awesome. You know, ask pointed questions to your coach about specific events, you know, if you can. Not everyone has a dedicated goalie coach, and your coach might not be able to keep an eye on you the whole practice. You know, maybe before practice, if you know you're going to be doing a drill or working on a specific aspect of the game that you have trouble with, give your coach a heads up that you would like him or her to pay attention to you. And so they can see you at those times and see what is going on. If you're doing it correct, you're doing it wrong, does it take a minor tweak, you know, what have you. Finding those specific weaknesses and then drilling consistently and diligently is the way to improve. If you keep hammering away at all these little aspects, the sum total of your game will improve. Just 1% better every day has a huge compounding effect over time. You know, a month out, it might not feel like much of an improvement, but then you get a year out and you'll be so far ahead from where you started. And if you have a specific aspect of your game that you have a question about, then send me your question. There is a link in the description to leave an audio recording, or you can use the email address in the description as well to send me your question by email. And if you like this episode, please leave a rating and review in your favorite podcast player. It does help others to discover this podcast. Until next time.